Blog Talk Radio.
A nice ride out to the studio this morning. Hopefully it's not going to be too warm today, although don't hold your breath on that. We have a couple of stories you might find notable, but one of the questions here is CNN, have they committed professional suicide in going after Trump? Some people believe that they have. Including Rush Limbaugh, who's got a pretty interesting piece on this. Now, every day the media plays the game, Trump just went too far, right? Or here's another example of how Trump is illegitimate in a way even a child would understand and reject. But the fact that the people elected Trump means that they already rejected this idea when they pulled the lever for him. I'm amazed at how many times these people fool themselves into thinking that they finally found something that's going to destroy Trump, some level of kryptonite. They are going to expose the president in a way that hasn't been done before. It's amazing to me how many of these people you change the name, change the position, their background, whatever. But you have the same message, same attitude. So anyway, the question being, has CNN destroyed itself? And some people really think that they have as a news agency, as an undertaking, as a business undertaking, that they've destroyed their credibility. And I've got some more stuff on that for you. Let me, for a moment, though, get for you a little bit from this to you from Rush Limbaugh. Because I thought it was pretty well relayed, pretty well stated. And Limbaugh goes on to say that if we were going to go after the news media, this is the way it would look. It wouldn't look pretty. It might cause fear and consternation in the right. But here's one thing that happened, by the way. There was this guy that put together this video, and the video was of Trump wrestling. When Trump was wrestling this person, it was obviously a spoof, WW, Worldwide Wrestling spoof. Grabs the person, they have CNN on their face, he takes him and body slams him. CNN actually tracked this guy down and told him that you either stop it or we're going to expose you. Now, what right did CNN have to do that? I thought it was nuts. But, I mean, it's a joke, right? The guy puts out a joke that is not especially harmful to anybody. And guy is hunted down as if he were, you know, Adolf Eichmann, and they tell him, if you do this again, you're going to really regret it. Now, here is, first, let me get something from Trump for you on this.
Thank you, Mr. President. In light of North Korea's latest ICBM testing,
Do you think they're beyond redemption, or is there a chance they might actually make a U-turn? And are you willing and ready to launch military action against them? and if I may, I have to ask about this. Since you started the whole wrestling video thing, what are your thoughts about what has happened since then? I mean, CNN went after you and has threatened to expose the identity of a person they said was responsible for it. I'd like your thoughts
on
that.
Yeah, I think what CNN did was unfortunate for them. As you know, now they have some pretty serious problems. They have been fake news for a long time. They've been covering very, a very dishonest way. Do you have that also, by the way, Mr. President? What CNN and others, I mean, not others, NBC is equally as bad, despite the fact that I made them a fortune with The Apprentice, but they forgot that. But I will say that CNN has really taken it too seriously, and I think they've hurt themselves very badly, very, very badly. And what we want to see in the United States is honest, beautiful, free, but honest press. We want to see fair press. I think it's a very important thing. We don't want fake news. And by the way, not everybody is fake news, but we don't want fake news. Bad thing, very bad for our country. As far as North Korea is concerned, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't like to talk about what I have planned, but I have some pretty severe things that we're thinking about. That doesn't mean we're going to do them. I don't draw red lines. President Obama drew a red line, and I was the one that made it look a little bit better than it was, but that could have been done a lot sooner, and you wouldn't have had the same situation that you have right now in Syria. That was a big mistake. But I think we'll just take a look at what happens over the coming weeks and months with respect to North Korea. It's a shame that they're behaving this way, but they are behaving in a very, very dangerous manner, and something will have to be done about it. Thank you. Thank you, David.
All right, so a couple of questions there, but here's the thing. What if, you know, take him or leave him, you like the guy or you don't, President Trump, but he is the elected leader, but what if he figured out a way through his own, you want to call it genius, you want to call it his instincts or whatever, what if he figured out a way to get CNN to destroy itself because they're so angry at they're so unaccepting of him as a president? And what is the purpose of karate and judo, especially? Judo is designed, it's a defensive maneuver that is supposed to take the attack of the enemy and turn it against them, right? Without harming yourself. Here's a little bit from CNN itself. Now, somebody goes along and they take a video of the president in his former life. He's at a worldwide wrestling event. He comes up to someone, grabs and body slams him. Obviously a spoof, a fake, right? I mean, a fake. It's not a real attack. It's a real picture of Donald Trump doing this. Then this individual takes this video and puts a picture of the logo of CNN on this person. Donald Trump is body slamming CNN. That is harmless, right? I mean, is that supposed to be something evil? Is CNN supposed to be so important and pure that you can't make fun of them? So they track this guy down. Now, here's a little clip on this. This is Chris Cuomo, brother of the New York governor and also a broadcaster for CNN.
Increasing participation. Okay, so another issue that came up here.
Something remarkable I thought happened yesterday. I thought it was remarkable that CNN found this, the Reddit user who created the GIF of, you know, Donald Trump in the wrestling video and where he punches CNN. So the investigative team went back and found the guy who first created this. He took credit for it. And then here comes the remarkable part. He apologized. Mm-hmm. He apologized for having done this. How often do you hear someone who creates a video that goes viral then say this? This is what he told CNN. I would like to apologize for the posts made that were racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic. These are the other posts that were on his account. I am in no way this kind of person. I would never support any kind of violence or actions against others simply for what they believe in, nor would I carry out any violence against anyone based upon that or support anyone who did. He went on. He was so...
But then why is there so much stuff on his account?
He deleted it.
But why was it there in the first place?
Because, in his apology, he says, he thought that these things were sort of funny. He liked getting a rise out of people online.
But they were so obvious.
He also went on...
How dare you attack CNN?
To the Ginny...
Send him to re-education camp.
What happened? He has
a medical condition.
Honestly, he has the reason that I think this is so notable, Crystal Lizza, is because this is a very full-throated, I think, genuine, honest apology. He has also asked that we not reveal his name or whereabouts, and we at CNN are honoring that because he's apologized, and he thinks that he would then be in danger and at risk if other people knew his name. We get it. We understand that. So I don't know. I just think that this is just a very interesting addendum to this whole story.
It was certainly not the outcome I would have thought once we tracked him down. And I think it's actually a nice thing. But I would remind people.
Chris the Lizard here.
Unless I'm mistaken, I saw quotes coming out of the White House over the weekend saying this. Donald Trump did not get this image from Reddit. So
where did it come from?
Yeah. I hate to say it. I think it's almost certain he did. But then why is the White House saying he didn't? I mean, there's, this. I took a nice thing, which was a guy at least being willing to say,
when exposed,
I shouldn't have done this.
When exposed and identified, he then decided to apologize for multiple entries on his account.
When does the guy sign up for his lobotomy?
People don't apologize even when exposed. I mean, I just see this as a possible glimmer of hope.
But the point is why is the White House on the record saying that's not where he got it from?
Who cares? These people are so obtuse.
Yeah, I hope. I hope he's got better things to do. He didn't build, so it came from somewhere. I did it.
It came from somewhere.
Why is the White House saying, no, that's not it? Where did it come from? I mean, I know it's going to get overshadowed, and probably rightly so, frankly.
Oh, my God, it's going to get overshadowed. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show is this.
Hey, Kelly, this is David. How are you?
David, good. What's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, CNN, those people are the most, as far as I'm concerned, they're all communists. Because if they hate our president as much as they do, that means they hate this country. Because you can't, I know you can not like Donald Trump, but for what he's trying to do to our country and make things better, if you hate him for that, then you really hate the United States of America.
Yeah,
and I feel like these people do.
They're sick people, and they're in this little pod, and it's like they're living on an island. Or in their mind, they're living on an island and they're fighting not just for their own survival, but for the survival of the world. And instead, they're just a bunch of nerds and goofballs who convince themselves that they are the most important group in world history. It's sickening to listen to these people.
And you're exactly right, because they are never, ever wrong. They've never been wrong in their entire life. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I wish I was filthy rich, because I would start my own TV network and I would go after every single person that's on CNN and I would dive into their closet and I would reveal every single one of them and let the whole world see that these people, anything they've done wrong, whether it was in the third grade, the first grade, I would reveal them and I wouldn't stop until the world was just, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that when he was in third grade. Why did he beat somebody up and put boogers under the table?
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
Well, I mean, these people are sick people right now. I mean, they act like as long as you hate Donald, like you say, everything else is fine. I mean, it is CNN is a joke. I mean, I have to think that other media organizations look at them and say these even we believe these people have gone too far.
No, I think, I'm glad that Donald is doing what he's doing, because if we'd have had, right now, had he not won or had Kasich won, he would not be fighting back. We finally have a president that is fighting back against the media. I mean, George Bush, they went after George Bush and he never did anything.
He was a sitting duck.
He
was a sitting duck, man. It was sad. People who were liberal before 9/11 crossed the aisle and became conservative, and George Bush gave those people no cover. And these people were just monstrously attacked. And I'm thinking, George Bush, you're the president. Why didn't you throw this person a lifeline? Say something nice about him. Don't just pretend that everybody's on their own and has to defend themselves. David, I got a break coming up. Thanks for the call. Good call. Folks, let's take a little break here. We're listening to the Limelighters. And 523-1450, this song may remind you of the good old days that we're trying to get back to. I was saying this to somebody yesterday, man. There's something wrong with this country. A friend of mine who's a Democrat, he says, why do you say that? And I said, because you can just feel it. There's something sick in the society, and it just doesn't feel good anymore. And he goes, you know what? I agree. You're right. 621, 622 AM Las Cruces, 1450, 805, 6180 for your text line. I got it with me, 523-1450 for your call. And we're going to be back. We're going to touch on this CNN suicide story a little bit more.
Once upon a time there, where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours and dreamed of all the great things we would do. Family fun begins at Pool 10 Plus. Pool Tech Club, where family fun begins. Yeah.
Pool Tech Club,
where family fun begins.
Now get the local buzz, news from Las Cruces and the region on KOBE AM 1450.
Living healthier could mean a more prosperous community for all of us. At least that was one of the ideas behind the Live Well Summit the city and county collaborated on recently. Assistant City Manager David Dallahan briefed the City Council on the meeting and shared that in the education component, one way to improve is that some kids given citations for acting out in school are stigmatized by this, and statistics show they tend to follow a life of criminal behavior.
A lot of them are criminalized, i.e. the children are issued citation, primarily teenagers, are issued citations for fighting in school or public affray, or more times than not from the schools, they're made to feel like criminals. And it relates to, it turns out that they in turn start behaving badly continuously on a more regular basis.
The Albuquerque Journal has reported Las Cruces Joseph Cervantes will run for the Democratic nomination to be the state's next governor. Cervantes is an attorney and the fourth Democrat to join the 2018 race. The others are Jeff Apodaca, Michelle Lujan Grisham, and Peter DeBenedetis. U.S. Representative Steve Pearson and Land Commissioner Aubrey Dunn have both said they're considering entering the race on the Republican side. The city of Albuquerque is trying to clean up its downtown. Mayor Richard Berry announced a five-point plan that includes a greater police presence in the area, as well as other measures. Police Chief Gordon Eaton said the police gave out 214 verbal warnings and 42 citations in the area and made 8 felony arrests in the last month. For the Bravo Mike Radio Network, I'm Jack Nixon reporting.
Did you know you can get an air $100 and that's no down payment. Plus, it should be $100 on your
So let me get you some headlines. Trump says the West will never be broken, gives a speech in Europe. It's Poland, isn't it? I'll go back and check now. So, yeah, it goes to Poland. Don't forget, Poland is the country that Barack Obama, as soon as he got into office, cut the defensive missiles to them. What was Barack Obama up to, by the way, if he came in and did something like that? And he went up to the president of Russia and says, as soon as I get reelected, I can help you guys. What was his goal? Payroll jobs, 158,000 increase in June. Hopefully we'll double or triple that in the coming months per month. Montana gets a big earthquake. Here's a story that'll catch your eye, especially for my audience. Drug-fueled gay orgy at Vatican. The church is rocked to its foundations. The Pope is furious. One of his closest advisors, an assistant to one of his closest advisors, but there is what they say is a gay cabal in the Vatican, and that is supposedly what the last Pope was fighting against. Was before he jumped out of the plane and pulled the cord on his chute, that he was fighting against this gay group, and some people say the reason that he left is he couldn't beat him. So, all right, here is a little bit more. I find it amazing that these guys in CNN went after this person who made this thing, which is harmless. This harmless little, this, they're calling it a GIF, a little looped thing with a CNN logo on the face of this guy. They're treating him like he's a pedophile or something. It's amazing. Here's Tucker Carlson.
Well, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. We hope to be off the Twitter beat by now, since there is actual news happening in the world. But there was a development in the president's ongoing feud with a certain cable news outlet that we felt was revealing enough to bring you details of tonight. Remember that professional wrestling video the president tweeted out the other day, the one with the CNN logo superimposed on the face of the villain? How could you forget that? Well, we interrupt this broadcast for some breaking news, because CNN had its own crack investigative team working through the night to hunt down who made that seconds-long piece of tape, because nothing is more important than that. And in the end, of course, they found out. Let them explain what happened next.
The Reddit user behind it posted his apology after CNN identified and tried to contact him. He apologized for some of his other posts that were racist and anti-Semitic. Now, CNN is not publishing the user's name because of his apology, his removal of all the offensive posts, and his pledge not to repeat this behavior on social media.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here. First, one of the biggest news organizations in the world spent a ton of money and a ton of time trying to find out who made this video. Now, you probably don't care who made it because why would you care? Some guy on the internet, crushing him is not that important. But CNN felt it was vital. Why did they feel that way? Because in politics, all dissent merits a response, even if it was a joke. Whatever it takes to beat your opponent, in this case Trump, is worth doing. So this is Oppo Research posing as journalism. Then there's a question of this guy's name. CNN is keeping it secret. Why are they doing that? Well, as you just heard them explain, because the man in question has apologized and promised he'll never do it again. Wait a second. When did CNN become a law enforcement agency or a religious order? Since when is it CNN's job to police the internet for immorality, to spare punishment in return for repentance? Maybe they'll start selling indulgences next. But that was just the first explanation for why they're withholding the name. CNN later announced that it has, quote, decided not to publish the name of the Reddit user out of concern for his safety. But that turned out to be an even more problematic explanation, since the network had already announced that if the naughty internet guy in question ever got naughty on the internet again, for example, by, I don't know, criticizing CNN, then they'd release his name, which by their own description might imperil his life, which to a lot of people seemed pretty much like blackmail. Do as we say or we'll hurt you. Conventional news organizations don't typically make threats like that, ever. So it was another tough day for CNN today. One of their morning show anchors may have come up with the simplest answer of all. Let social media decide what to do about this guy's identity. Twitter, the perfect forum for thorny moral questions. Here's the quote. Should CNN reveal name of Reddit user who made Trump wrestling video? That's a tweet from Chris Cuomo. Quote, had a lot of bigoted and hateful material on page and website. Okay, so releasing this guy's name would endanger his safety, but then again, he's got, quote, bigoted and hateful material on his website, so maybe he deserves it. You decide, citizens of Twitter. Spare or kill him, your call. This is getting grotesque. We're all better off when CNN stuck to wars and hurricanes and missing airplanes. Mark Stein is a longtime news watcher, an author, and a columnist, and he joins us tonight. Why? I'm wondering this. They put their crack investigators on the question of who made this dumb internet gif. Why not find out where al-Baghdadi is or something?
Yeah.
If you're that good at finding stuff.
Right. That's what your investigative unit should be doing. This guy is entirely tangential to it. The way things work on the internet is somebody sends somebody a picture and that person emails it to somebody. And that person tweets it to somebody else, and 37,000 links later, it's become a thing. And nobody cares who created it or what other content he has created. Even if you accept that Chris Cuomo's definition of hate speech and bigoted and racist and anti-Semitic material ought to be the standard applied across the internet. Basically, a major news organization is policing some no-name schlub's internet content and threatening to reveal his identity if he transgresses their particular standards. That's completely nuts. I mean, Wolf Blitzer has basically put a horse's head in this guy's bed. And I don't know how this happened. CNN was like the world's most boring cable network just a month ago. Now it's behaving more and more nuttily each day.
So that's too good. So, but I mean, they seem to have come up with this kind of remarkable standard. They said, look, we're not releasing the guy's name because it would be a threat to his safety, presumably his physical safety.
Right.
But we're going to release his name if he says something we don't like. Now,
that's just communism, right? I mean, the communists are always trying to get revenge, trying to put people into concentration camps and or to put them in re-education camps. And that's what this guy, they're doing here. I mean, it would seem to me anyway. Here's a little bit more from Dan Bongino, who used to be a Secret Service guy.
Decision to tweet out video of him wrestling Vince McMahon with CNN over Vince McMahon. It was actually first done on seen on Reddit, and they find out CNN used all their resources to find out who this person was that put the original video up with then over Vince McMahon's face. Turns out it's a 15-year-old, And now they're accused, the CNN is accused of threatening to reveal this private citizen's identity. And in response, I think some of these people on the internet, these hackers, have released the identity of every CNN on-air talent.
Right. You know, this is an amazing story. When I saw this morning, I was really flabbergasted. Think about this, right? CNN, which is this big multinational news organization, can't develop one on-the-record source to corroborate their Trump-Russia fairy tale X-Files story, right? But they all of a sudden found the resources to out a 15-year-old who goes by the alias like Han Solo something.
Yeah,
who
something.
Put up a video
yeah.
they don't like. This is amazing. Guys, listen, go develop a source to corroborate your Trump-Russia story before you out a bunch of teenagers playing their Xbox, you know, making gippies you don't like that insult your network. This is absurd.
Yeah, they made the kid apologize, and those hackers on the internet are going to bat for the 15-year-old.
Well, of course they are. That's a very close-knit community. Make the kid apologize. I mean, what are they going to do next? Put him in timeout, take his Xbox away. This is a major news network. Guys, listen, right. I see your Twitter a lot because I'm on Twitter. If you did this to everyone that tweeted negative things to Fox, you'd run out of money tomorrow. I mean,
Believe me.
A break,
yeah,
please.
We know it.
Hashtag CNN blackmail is the number one hashtag right now.
So the kid just did it as a joke, and that brings us to where we are today. Dan, thank you.
He's 15 years old. Can you believe that? 15 years old. And I'd like to know if what CNN did, if everything they did towards this kid is even legal. I mean, that is blackmail, isn't it? So, here's Rush Limbaugh. Is this the end of CNN? He says it is.
Hey, let me ask you a question, folks. How many people over the course of your life, over the course of the recent past, lunch years, how many people do you know that constantly complain about the media? Everybody, right? Everybody's always complaining about the media. So over this past weekend, I had somebody, you believe what Trump is doing to CNN? I said, what do you mean what Trump is doing to CNN? It's not what Trump is doing to CNN, it's what CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post are doing to Trump. And so many people have complained to me about the media for all of my life, the entire portion of time in my life that I've been doing this program. And if something's got to be done. We've got to do something. Why doesn't somebody do something about the media? And here comes Donald Trump doing something about the media. People are getting nervous. Not everybody. Some people obviously very supportive and happy about this. And I think it was last week or the week before, forget which, but I openly stated on this program that we are witnessing the decline and eventual demise of CNN. And that statement was picked up by several in the drive-by media, and panels were assembled to discuss my premise. You really think, it was asked on Fox News, you really think this could be the end of CNN? It is the end of CNN. Now, my point about this, a lot of people are nervous. Trump supporters are nervous about the tweet. Not everybody. But some Trump supporters are nervous about the tweeting, and they're nervous about them taking on CNN. For everybody who's wanted something done about the media, this is what it looks like. Everybody who's complained about inside the Beltway itis and how it happens and we need to drain the swamp or whatever, this is what it looks like. It was never going to be pretty. It was never going to appear rational or normal. I mean, this is a huge battle taking place that Donald Trump is waging single-handedly. Now, he's got his supporters out. Don't misunderstand. I know the social media army is out there supporting, and he's not alone in this. But in terms of electoral politics, he pretty much is alone in this. And he continues to take it to them. And they clearly do not know how to deal with Trump. This when I saw this, I was jealous. I was jealous that I didn't do this. The video of Trump body slamming a CNN logo. I said, this is great. And I know the Trump didn't do it. He just retweeted it. But it was clever. It was funny. And it illustrated once again that modern day journalism and modern day liberalism have zero sense of humor. The serious outrage that this was met with is highly illustrative of just where modern day liberalism is and who they really are. I mean, CNN literally went bat crazy over this. And they were acting, this is a direct assault on all members of the media. This is promoting violence against the media. Meanwhile, the only people being shot out there are Republicans. The only people being shot are Republicans, and they are deranged supporters of liberals like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and they are listening to all the rhetoric that the drive-by media, including CNN, is using to make them insane, to rev them up. Here comes a guy on our side of the aisle using clever satire and parody, putting the CNN logo over the face of Vince McMahon on videotape of Trump at a WrestleMania a long time ago. CNN logo. CNN can't take it. CNN goes bonkers, claiming that this is going to cause violence against journalists. Meanwhile, the only violence taking place is against Republicans, and it is with guns. And it's being perpetrated by deranged followers of left-wing news, such as CNN, the New York Times, the Huff and Puffington Post, you name it. And I thought it was hilarious and funny, but it made some people nervous, is my point. I saw a lot of people over the weekend, and they, you know, it's just not presidential. I said, look, the problem is Trump didn't start this. And I reminded every one of these people how every time I've talked to them over the years, at one point or another, there's widespread complaining about the media. And there's always somebody in the group, somebody's got to do something. Well, somebody is. And this is what it looks like. This is exactly what it looks like, whether you're taking on the media or whether you're taking on any other branch of the Washington ruling class or establishment. I think while people are aware of the dislike and the unpopularity among establishmentarians of Donald Trump, I don't think people have a full-fledged, correct understanding of the sheer, raw hatred for Trump that they have. And that kind of hatred that they are carrying with them every day is dangerous. It's destructive. It's distorting. It is almost dehumanizing in a way. You can't just hate consistently and as intensely as they do, CNN, New York Times, without having it affect them, not Trump. Trump is merrily heading on down the path, doing what he's doing, draining the swamp, meeting with foreign leaders, doing what he's doing to implement his agenda. And that's driving them even further crazy. But this episode now of CNN deciding they had to put their investigative unit on the creator of this video and find this guy and intimidate this guy and warn this guy that if he ever does it again, they're going to publicize who he is and to force an apology. Who do they think they are? And everybody's running around looking for an analogy. I'll give you one. The poor guy that made the Benghazi video that wasn't a factor in it. They ended up putting that guy in jail. Guy makes a video that nobody ever saw that Obama and Hillary and the entire Democrat Party use as a means of blaming riots in Benghazi and in Libya when, in fact, they were terrorist protests armed and aimed at the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton's incompetence, and they slept it off as claiming, there was a riot. It was caused by us. We had this deranged video maker who insulted Islam. And they went out, they found this guy, they put this guy in jail. CNN would have put this guy in jail if they could have. Now, to me, this is evidence that CNN's losing it. This is evidence of the arrogance and the condescension and the attitude that CNN and all the media have of their abject supremacy and superiority. They, in their own minds, can destroy anybody they want. They can go out and say anything about anybody, as they have been doing about Trump now for a year. They can make it up. They can lie over and over again. They can repeat what they know are falsehoods. They can repeat supposed intelligence that is not intelligence. They can create an entirely phony narrative and follow it for a week, and nobody's allowed to criticize that. You turn the criticism on them, and they can't even handle being laughed at, much less being seriously criticized. And now they're applauding themselves for their great investigative work in uncovering and exposing this poor guy who made the video of Donald Trump body slamming the CNN logo. Body slamming the logo. Decking the logo. Now put yourself, can you imagine what it takes to be genuinely ticked off about it? And while you think about it, think about all the so-called humor that comes out of the mouths of all the so-called left-wing comedians. And think of the vile, vicious, personal destruction and lies that comes out of their mouths. And we're supposed to laugh at that. We're supposed to realize that's just comedy. We're supposed to realize there's a First Amendment. Anybody can say what they want, but turn it around. A news network that fewer and fewer people are watching. And look what happens. This is I'll tell you, folks, this is a teachable moment. And a lot of people are learning. CNN's doing us actually a great favor. A lot of people are learning exactly who they are, what they are, and what liberalism is all about simply by virtue of the fact CNN putting it on display. Nobody has to tell anybody anything. This is one of the great things about liberalism is in the age of Trump. And we can sit here for 30 years and warn people about it and give them ideas and lessons and teach them how to recognize liberalism and how bad that is. But nothing can substitute for liberals putting all of that on display themselves and acting hysterical and righteous and indignant at the same time.
I'll take a little break here, but pretty amazing, really. Pretty amazing that this group goes after a 15-year-old. I mean, if they should have just said, we found the person, he was 15, just left it at that. But, of course, they have to try to turn him into some, you know, some freak that has to be, you know, talked off of a shelf or convinced to hand over his high-powered rifle from on top of a building. And CNN is really, I think, that they've gone too far, finally. We'll be right back.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose. For we were young and sure to have our way.
Sunday again on Friday with a...
All right, here is one last clip on this from Molly Hemingway, who I think had a good reaction. But anyway, I think that CNN, the people who think that CNN has credibility, the Kathys, the Frankies, what is it based on? I mean, if they're biased, even if their bias is something you agree with, you don't think that means that they've lost any claim of objectivity? Check it out.
Who are they to decide, Molly? I mean, this is what I can't understand. That they get to decide if he has good behavior and they're going to basically hold his name hostage in case he steps out of line with whatever they think is appropriate?
This is what is so chilling about it. I mean, leave aside whether it's really wise for a major media corporation to be so hurt by a funny meme that they track down the originator of that meme and threaten to expose him. But this line that they put in there, that if he publishes content that they deem, and they didn't explain what their secret standards were, but if he publishes any more content that they don't like, they reserve the right to ruin his life. That's just not something that any media organization should do. That's chilling, threatening, and kind of a way to go after anyone who criticizes CNN. And that's not something that that media organization can afford. At the same time, it's trying to say that freedom of speech and freedom of the press are on dangerous ground right now.
That's a good point. You can't have it both ways, right? Cry wolf in a sense. Richard, imagine if CNN had just decided.
All right, so I've got a little Brian Regan here for you, tattoos and dating. Check it out.
Well, I think it would be interesting to get a game of hangman tattooed on your chest. But only the tattoo artist knows the answer. So every time you want to continue the game, you'd have to go back to the tattoo bar. Is there a G? Nope. And then he tattoos another body part. Darn it. Walk out. It was Batman and Robin. Here's another tattoo idea. I think it'd be interesting to get a tattoo of like a dozen Easter eggs, but tell the tattoo artist to hide them. And then you know if somebody finds all of the Easter eggs, you know they really like it. I'm trying to get some people like me. I'm back in the dating world. Went through a breakup, you know. After the breakup, people say, "What happened, man? Was it a big thing?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. We couldn't agree on the definition of this exit and next exit." I was driving, and she said, "Get off at the next exit." So I pulled off. Why did you get off here? I told you to get off at the next exit. I thought we could get off here and buy a dictionary. Good. Good definition. Because I'm asking women out. I don't know how to do that smoothly. I watch the movies. It goes down so smoothly in the movies. Do you like that dinner on Saturday?
I would love that.
I'll pick you up at 8. Wait a second. Even if they're interested, isn't there more planning? Do you like that dinner on Saturday?
I would like that, but I can't Saturday because my sister's flying into town Saturday. We're going out Saturday night. You can have dinner on Friday.
I'll pick you up at 8.
8 o'clock's not going to work because my company's having an office party Friday night, and I probably should go to that, and that might go till like 9 o'clock. But we could have a late dinner, like a 10 o'clock dinner Friday.
I'll pick you up at 9:30.
Don't you need to know where I live?
I do need that information.
I live out in Jefferson Township, but if you take Route 27 to get there, you're not going to be able to take that all the way into the township because they're doing construction the last 2 miles. So when you get about 2 miles outside of my township, you have to shoot over and pick up a street. It's called Elm Meadow Lane. I'm going to take that the final 2 miles and it meanders around, and then you'll end up parallel with my township. So you'll be coming into the township from the west. You enter the township to see Alhambra Apartments, but you can't park in front of my building because they're doing water treatment out front. It was supposed to be completed like 3 months ago, and nobody knows what's going on. But there are task force across the street, and it says no parking on the fence, but no one's going to bother you because everybody knows about the water treatment. So can't park there for the short term across the street. My buzzer's been very glitchy. Don't even bother hitting the parking lot. Call from the cell. I'll hear you. I'll meet you out front, and I should tell you I'm gluten-free.
I need a scrap piece of paper.
Yeah, I'm not good at the dating thing, man. Out of practice. I complimented a woman the other day, and I thought it was a nice compliment, but she didn't take it that way.
So here's a little tip for the guys. If you're ever talking about a woman, don't ever use this word. And it doesn't matter what word you put around it. They're not going to hear the other word. They're going to hear this word. I'm talking about the word schnoz. Like, you have the cutest, beautiful, sexiest. That's what you hear. So that's the word that I'm talking about. People need to hang out with people. Guys like to hang out with guys, but they feel weird admitting it for some reason. So they always have to center it around an activity, usually with a scorecard involved. They can come back with that scorecard and feel less weird about being with guys. That's why we're together. 28 to 12. A guy that asks another guy to go golfing or bowling, even fishing, sort of has a score. A guy would ask another guy to go fishing, but a guy would never ask another guy to do the same exact thing, but leave out the fishing part. Hey, Charlie, let's take it this weekend. I can swing by, pick you up, head out to this lake I know about. Beautiful out there. Watch the sunrise. The way that glistens off the lake in the early morn is something I wouldn't want you to miss. I figured we could just spend the day sitting real close together on a boat. You ever doing something like that with me? Can we try to kill something?
All right, little Brian Reagan there for you. Okay, so CNN badly damaging itself. I just got a text from Ben Rossin that we're not going to be doing his clip today. Something came up, so we can carry on. We can still talk about some New Mexico news. I do apologize for that. I'll take you out of here with some Limelighters. Those were the days. This song has some great lyrics. 659 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces AM 1450-523-1450 to call in at 805-6180. We'll be back.
Then the busy years went rushing by us. We lost our starry notions on the way. If by chance I'd see you in the tavern, we'd smile at one another and we'd say, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. Just tonight I stood before the tavern. Nothing seemed the way it used to be. In the glass I saw a strange reflection. Was that lonely stranger really me? Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd end.
All right, so last weekend, a good morning, by the way, 7:06. It is the sixth day of July. The days are just burning through, aren't they? Over the weekend, last weekend, I got together with Steve Pierce, and we did a little interview to cover the fourth, topics of the fourth and some other stuff. So got that instead of Ben Rossin for you. Got it right here. Good morning, folks. We have a very, very, very special guest. As always, Steve Pierce, when he shows up, has got a lot of great information for us down in Doniana. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Nice talking to you. We just flew back into New Mexico from D.C. last night, hitting the ground running this morning, working through the 4th of July parades. We'll be over there for the Electric Light Parade, so just another exciting work period for me.
What time do you get up every morning?
I was up at 4 o'clock this morning.
Jeez. Is that every day?
It's pretty close, yeah. It's 4 to 4:30. I need about two and a half hours to kind of get prepared for every day. It allows me to do my praying, then the reading for the day, the policy, the whatever. And so it takes about 2.5 hours. Then I'm ready to hit the ground running. If you get up late, you just you're running behind all day. So yeah, it takes that.
Well, that's a good model for the youngsters out there. Steve, give us an overall picture of what how things are going in Washington right now, according to your view.
Well, it's actually following pretty well along with what Mr. Trump campaigned on. The Supreme Court just this week made two critical decisions, and Mr. Gorsuch, true to form, filled the role that was played by Scalia before. And so one was about religious liberty. A church group had wanted to apply for grants in a community to help build playground equipment, and they said they couldn't apply for the grants. The Supreme Court said, yes, they can.
This is Kelly,
I think that was a 7-2 decision. So that was a huge deal.
The audio
they also sued for the Trump travel ban going into effect.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks. All right. I just got a note that the audio is not coming over, so I don't – you know what? I just think – here we go. I do appreciate a call like that. It's always taken as a favor. Appreciate that. There was – I use a board called an R55E, and it's got a lot of different buttons on it. And sometimes if one button isn't pushed, you can imagine. So let's start this over again. And then if you can't hear anything, call me in and we'll just switch gears. But here is the interview with Steve Pierce that I did on Saturday. Oh, good morning, folks. We have a very, very, very special guest. As always, Steve Pierce, when he shows up, has got a lot of great information for us down in Doniana. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Nice talking to you. We just flew back into New Mexico from D.C. last night. Hitting the ground running this morning, working through the 4th of July parades. We'll be over there for the electric light parade. So just another exciting work period for me.
What time do you get up every morning?
I was up at 4 o'clock this morning.
Jeez. Is that every day?
It's pretty close, yeah. It's 4 to 4:30. I need about two and a half hours to kind of get prepared
Kelly,
for every day.
Talk.
It allows me to
it's
do
Kelly,
my praying and the reading for the day, the policy, the whatever. And so it takes about 2.5 hours. Then I'm ready to
it's
hit the
Kelly.
Ground running. If you get up late, you
it's
just
Kelly.
You're running behind
it's
all
Kelly.
Day. So
Are
yeah,
you there?
It takes that.
Well, that's a good model for
Kelly.
Youngsters
Can you
out
talk,
there.
Please,
Steve. Give us an overall picture of how things are going in Washington right now, according to your folks. I just got another couple of calls, so I'm going to assume that you can't hear this. So I don't know. I can't don't have any independent way to go out and check. But anyway, let's switch gears here a little bit. I'll see if I can figure out what's going on in the break, but. If you could hear me, call in and let me know. Do me a favor, though, folks. This happens almost 100% of the time. If there's a clip that's being played and you call in, you're not going to be able to hear me, but I can hear you and we can have a conversation if you just start talking. Most people call in and don't say anything, and I'm kind of yelling into the microphone for like 5 minutes. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Aaron.
Hold on 1 second. Thanks for the call. This is Kelly. I'll be right. There we go. Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. Well, on this whole thing you're trying to play, it's you that can't be heard. Pierce can be heard just fine.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I thought there was some interesting news. The Missouri is going to be reducing their minimum wage back down to $7.75. After the information that's coming out of Washington State and Seattle is that the artificially increased minimum wage is actually hurting the people it was meant to help. They're getting fewer hours to work now, and they're hiring fewer of them. So I just thought that was an interesting note.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I did some research on what you're talking about. They had the increase in minimum wage in Seattle in phases. Everybody knows that Seattle is a very progressive city. And what they found is in the first increase, It went up to like, I don't know, like $11. They found that it didn't seem to hurt the minimum wage workers. It helped them a little bit, but as they increased it up to $15 an hour, what they found is the net effect, the overall impact, is that the minimum wage workers made less because what the owners of the businesses were doing was giving them less hours. So it just, right. It confirmed everybody's common sense. There's no free lunch.
Exactly. And I hope that our city commissioners took note, because we're a much poorer area than Seattle. And if that wealthier area couldn't handle it, there's no way it's going to work around here. The whole idea that you can inflate wages artificially is just ludicrous.
Well, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was having a conversation with someone, Aaron, and I was telling him, I said, you know, there's this kind of this very progressive and self-confident group of people here who have put out the message, including the mayor, from what I understand, that this is a no-growth area. But then I think about, what's the population look like? 25% below poverty, 25% barely above poverty, literally half the people in this town struggling to make ends meet, and you're going to get up and communicate to these people as the leader that we're a no-growth area. In other words, we're not going to grow our economy. In other words, you can't get another job. In other words, your kids are not going to be able to find work when they enter the workplace.
And it's growth that increases wages, because if you have growth, then you have competition for the labor force that's out there, and people pay more, you know, through a natural process to garner that employment and garner that worker. When you just artificially do what they've done, it leads to a reduction in employment.
But think about this, Aaron, think about this. I'm the mayor, or I'm some leader in the county, and I'm telling you, for the half of the people that are struggling around the poverty line, I got no answer for you, because we've decided we're above growth.
Well, you know, they're going to try and promise some other things. They're going to, it's the Democratic way. We'll increase the EBT card. We'll increase subsidies for housing.
Is it working?
These kinds of things.
Aaron, I don't know if you can hear me, but is it working? Is it working? Is their approach working?
Oh, of course not. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows. It's so obvious. I don't know why our community continues to vote for these people. It's just. I guess they keep thinking they're going to get the freebie. You know, human nature loves to get something for free. But it's not going to work. It's going to continue to lag. We're going to continue to be the worst place in the country to get a job. And I really feel for the lower skilled workers and the less educated people in our community, because they're going to continue to struggle, and they're not going to move up into the middle class.
And you've got a community where a lot of people don't graduate high school, and so it's a never-ending cycle. And I think people just say that's our lot here. A lot of people don't want to move from this area because they're from here and their family's from here. And it's like, what do you do, you know?
Yeah, it's a bad situation. And all we can hope is that people wake up.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Good call. All right, folks, let's take a little break here, and we're going to come on. And I can't remember if I'd ever had the problem of recording an interview and the interviewee could speak, but I couldn't be heard. Maybe that's not a problem for some. Maybe it's an answer for the Frankies. It's 717 Kelly O'Connelly in Las Cruces, and John Henry. Limelighters were like, they were kind of a sophisticated cosmopolitan group, you know. I'm trying to think of a group that was kind of like them, but not City Slickers. We'll be right back. This is Live, John Henry.
John Henry was a little baby, sitting on his happy feet. He picked up a hammer and a little piece of steel. Never gonna be the death of me, Lord, Lord. Never gonna be the death of me. The captain, he said to John Henry, I'm gonna bring this steam drill around. Gonna take that steam drill out on the job. Up that steel on down, Lord, Lord. Up that steel on down.
All right, so 7:20 here. Let me go over just a few local stories. It's too bad because that was a pretty good interview with Steve. What do you guys think about Steve Pierce running for governor? And I got a robocall, not a robocall, but I got a survey call last night. And that was one of the main questions. Okay, they say tourism is up in the state. 1 million. And so this is from freealbuquerque.com. They're saying that the Grand Canyon, one of the world's great wonders, attracted 6 million people. And if the New Mexico visitor stats are legitimate, that means we got 1 million more people, or at least more people interested in Tucumcari and Hobbs than the Grand Canyon. And so Governor Susana Martinez announced new tourism on Wednesday. And in 2016, a record number of trips, 34.4 million, taken to New Mexico. And now this article is saying that the governor is over-exaggerating. The trip stats are taken from surveys filled out by travelers, probably include people who are driving through the state on their way to somewhere else. And the 2014 survey, based on 2,900, or stats were based on the 2014 surveys, 2,900 of those. So, anyway, well, I guess you can always naysay, but I'm still wanting to know what we can do to increase business, the business culture down here, and what we can do to what businesses, what, you know, I suggested having a bus line that ran through all the different kind of interesting areas here. And there's got to be, I mean, that's obviously the work of a business, somebody who's talented in business. The work of that person would be, if they could come up with a functional economy here, they'd be on the same level as Albert Einstein. So, you know, people can complain about the fact that there's not a lot. I don't put a lot of New Mexico news on the show. If you do New Mexico news, there's just not a lot that comes up. I mean, you can always go into obscure stuff, but, you know, usually you look up New Mexico. If you looked up New York or California news or whatever, Arizona, Texas, there'd be a lot of fresh stuff. When you do a search on New Mexico news, within the first and second page, you've got news that's 2 or 3 weeks old. So New Mexico State Fair ranked number 2 in the nation, a recent survey conducted by Smart Asset has ranked the New Mexico State Fair as the second best state fair in the country. We moved up 7 spaces in a year. And we got high marks for attendance, affordability, multiple nights of exciting PRCA rodeo and concert lineups. 31 state fairs were ranked, and attendance rates as a percentage of population, adult admission price, youth admission length of each fair, daily precipitation average. So we got props for being a super hot place without any rain. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Jim. How you doing?
Good, Jim. It's been a while. How you been?
Oh, good. Yeah, it has been quite a while. I was listening to your show this morning, and the other caller was correct. We could not hear you, but we could hear Steve. But Kelly, by virtue of his answers, we'd have a pretty good idea of what your question would have been.
We could play. Name that question if you want. Or the isn't that what the amazing Karnak did? Would read the answer to the question and then open up the envelope to see what the original question was. Go ahead.
It would only work if you wore a big bonnet and would, put your hand over your eyes. And
I promise.
And secondly, and I'll let you go. On the deal with the downtown, you know, when everything pretty much shuts off at 5 o'clock, there's not a lot to draw people. We've had a few restaurants down there, and the last one that went out was pretty good again. But when people do not visit that area, businesses won't sustain themselves. And I'll go back to the leaders of that keep getting reelected that screw this town up so bad that people keep putting them in.
Well, it is kind of tragic, but then you can understand that the leaders feel like they've been their message has been ratified, that they're here to lead other people. The people want to be led in the direction that they're going because they keep reelecting them. I would feel I couldn't live with myself to get up and say this is a no growth area, knowing that literally half of the county is mired in poverty. That's not leadership. It's a suicide march.
Well, that's progressivism, you know, and that's the way it's going to go. And that's the way this mayor and, you know, he makes all these appearances when it looks good for him. But when the real brass tacks come down to it, you know, you try to talk to the council or something like that. And it's like you're talking to a bunch of donkeys sometimes, you know?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It is painful to watch this and then and just think about the potential of the area. I just, you know, it's like it must be what it was like in the plantation days or during slavery. I mean, the people who own everything could care less.
And I'll let you go on this last one. Have you noticed that whenever election time comes, that's when all these left-wing extremists from out east and Arabsville come in here, put their money in, get their people elected. And once they do, you never hear of them again. But people that want to run to make the area good and to, you know, really give good ideas, you're not going to get a lot of free stuff from those people. So therefore, they're not going to get elected.
I just think that, you know, the problem here is that we need to educate people into understanding what good government is. I mean, if a person has never been exposed to the ideas of capitalism and the history of the United States in any detail, you can hardly blame them for looking for handouts.
You're absolutely right, Kelly. And that comes back to, I would not want to be a teacher ever. No way. But when the textbooks that they're using are written by the people that do not believe in what we believe, then that's what you're going to get.
Well, yeah, you know, a teacher cannot be better than the curriculum. The curriculum must be defective because the children are not being raised up and taught things like civics. I mean, you've got a movement in the United States that realized a long time ago, the leftists, the progressives, that if they taught people the real history of America, those people would never accept socialism.
That's true. And a lot of these, I'm going to let you go on this one, but kids are a product of their environment. They're going to be a product of their home. And when the mother and dads, through no fault of their own, may have been educated or not educated well, then that's what you're going to have.
Yeah, but it's the job of the city leaders, the leaders of the state, the county, whatever, to give the best education as possible to the kids, because if not, you're really sentencing them to be ignorant and miserable. I mean, you got to give people tools to work with.
Correct. That's absolutely right, Kelly. And I'll let you go on that, but it's been good talking to you. It's been quite a while.
You too, Jim. Hope you're doing well, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, folks, we'll take a break here for some local news. I don't have any criticism for teachers. They're on the front lines. What's the curriculum like? What do we expect out of kids? If each generation you expect less out of kids, what kind of a country you're going to end up? 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be back.
Henry said to his captain,
loud and clear,
now a man ain't nothing but a man. Before I let that steam drill beat me down, I'm going to
die with this hammer in my hand. Lord, go fly with this hammer in my hand.
The captain said to John Henry, I believe this mountain's sinking in. John Henry said to his captain, Lord, Lord,
if only my hammer's stuck in wind, Lord, Lord, only my hammer's stuck in wind.
All right, so that's your local news there. I got the machines a little screwed up today in terms of the ads and the programming, but everything's good. All right, so I am just, we have the same conversation that we have every time that we bring it up. This idea that, hey, you know, it's really kind of sad. It's this idea that you've got this situation that can't be changed, and so we can't have an economy here. Now, the people who say that we can't change anything, that the change is for the negative, what's their vision here? And I mean, it's almost like a retirement place. This is a place where you go because you have a fixed income, and we're going to promise you that we're never going to change anything around here because we know that change is bad and the earth is good, and any change that we do harms the earth. I mean, I've got this article that I've been looking at. I bought a book that was kind of connected to it. And the name of the article was, find this thing here, the myth of liberalism, and it's written by a guy who's a medical doctor, and he is also got a degree in philosophy, and he was kind of putting together what he considered to be some of the myths, and I think that ideas have consequences. That's the title of a famous book. Ideas have consequences, and so when you put certain ideas into play, when you feed them to people and they believe them, whether they get propagandized or they just readily accept the ideas as being true, the impact of the ideas has to be analyzed. And so what is the impact of liberalism? You can put out a lot of different impacts. And yesterday I had said, can you build a society? My friend challenged me. I don't know why he thought I needed this challenge, but I challenge you to build a society on, this guy's an atheist or an agnostic. And he knows that I believe in God. And so he says, contingent upon me to build a society with morality, with rules, without any reference to religion. And I'm like, that's like going up to a vegetarian and saying, I need you to design for me a healthy diet that is composed only of meat. To me, that's total nonsense, but I don't know why he believed that I needed to try to do that. But it is something that I've thought about many times. Where do you get rules from? Where do you get your operating rules? Because in this society, we have kind of famously separated religion from the government. And even tiny, tiny mistakes in this area, if the city hall puts up a creche, puts up a Jesus in a manger, that just sets off the alarm bells. And, you know, these progressives and atheists and agnostics go haywire. But I said, you know, it's funny, every person that I've ever talked to who's presented themselves as an atheist has, and I say, well, okay, you're an atheist, so you cut off all these ideas and rules of Christianity and Judaism and every other religion. Isn't that right? Yes, it is. All right, so what would you base your society on? Where would you get the rules from? And the person, they almost to a person inevitably say, well, I base it on the golden rule. And it's like, well, wait a second. You know, the golden rule didn't just like grow up out of the ground. It's an idea that came from somebody, and that somebody was Jesus. So don't you find it ridiculous that you're so insistent, like Frankie, Religion is the worst thing that's ever happened to humans, and we need to get rid of it. And by the way, I'm going to build my moral, ethical, legal system out of the most famous quote from the most famous religious person, Jesus. To me, that's just, I mean, that is just like saying, you know, I give up. I'm raising the white flag. The first move, it's like in chess. My first move is to hand the king over to the other side and say, let me give you my king, and now let's play the game. It's ridiculous. And I think it proves the point. This person that I talked to is obdurate. Obdurate being a word that means very stubborn and I guess kind of self-righteous and allergic to seeing that they might be wrong, unchangeable. And I said to him, don't you see this as a problem? And I said, you want to put your system on the golden rule? No, it's not a problem. You know, Jesus doesn't own the golden rule. That's like saying that Henry Ford doesn't own the Model T. I mean, it's just so anyway, you deal with these people and you've got to be able to deal with contradiction and not flip out like they do. You know, they say 100 things and they all contradict one another. So one of the articles that I was looking at over the weekend was this article about whether the people that are atheists and agnostics, whether they are smarter than other people. And they've apparently done studies and found out supposedly that the individuals who claim to be agnostic, atheist, or whatever, actually have a higher IQ than people who believe. I don't really believe that. You'd have to do an exhaustive study. But even if that were true, how would I explain it? I would explain it like this, that we are dealing with in this country and in the United States in general, we're dealing with a scenario where you've got people, some of the most brilliant and highly trained people, but naturally brilliant people, high IQ people, go into the sciences. And there they are taught that there is no God. So I see the vast majority of people out there who get caught up in these kind of conversations and arguments as being people that are, they are at the same time, they're smart, they're trying to persuade other people, but they're caught up themselves as victims of propaganda, if that makes any sense. And we've got a call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, hey, this is Jim again. Sorry to call you back.
It's all right. It happened. People, Jim, who call in enjoy it so much they want to call right back. I think David did that the other day. Go ahead.
You're commenting on something. You know what it reminds me of when you're talking about how people react, the agnostics and all those people that do not like religion? It reminds me of Dracula. You remember Dracula in the movies when he would see a cross, how he would turn his head, put his hand in front of his eyes. That's evil looking at truth and goodness.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
That's
what they are.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So, but look, I'm getting, you know, where am I getting at with this commentary? I'm getting to this. All right. So the world that we're in seems accidental. And yet we're influenced by decisions and ideas that were put out a long time ago, you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago, and these ideas play out and they have an impact. It's like throwing a rock in a pond and watching the waves, watching the ripples kind of spread out. But if you find that, as I do, that liberalism or socialism is an ineffective theory for economics and for as a government theory, and also as a theory for human beings and what motivates them and how human beings are designed, you can find the examples in particular of failure. Now, I'll just give you one that just pops into my head right now. There's a movement in this country to protect abortion. It's a huge deal, right? I mean, you're a feminist, you support abortion. Male or female, we've also got a problem in this country. Let's say we look at this not from an moral standpoint, but an economic standpoint. We've got a problem in this country that the economy is not as vibrant as it could be. One quarter of the people in this country don't have a dollar of savings. One third, I don't think, have more than 100. I just read this. The economy is not as robust as it could be. That, in part, like somebody said earlier, I think it was Aaron, the problem is that the more people that are working, the more dynamic the economy, the better that everybody does. A rising tide raises all boats. You've got a problem when people are out of work, or you have a problem when the economy is stagnant. It's not growing. So you take all these people that have been killed by abortion, and I figured out it was something like maybe 150 million. I think it's like 55 million or more have been killed by abortion. And then you extrapolate from them the kids that they would have had. You're missing from that population like half of what we have right now. We would be a third larger. But the economy would be much bigger. We'd have much larger tax income. And a lot of the problems that we're struggling with now, we wouldn't be. So you apply an idea, the ideas have consequences. Particularly, though, I find that ideas that are born out of secularism or atheism, you know, what do you want to call it? Atheistic secularism. I think somebody said that Bill O'Reilly used that phrase, this guy that I was talking to the other night. Because these ideas are not true, when you apply them, they cause problems because they're not adapted to reality. Just a thought for you. Okay, we're going to take a break here and pick this up again because I think it's kind of interesting, the impact of ideas on society, and especially I would point out to why do leftists demand on policies that have been disproven so long ago? I was saying a few weeks ago, aspirational. I aspire that all poor people have food. I aspire that all poor people have an income, all these aspirations. Instead of being realistic, we're always going to have poor people out there. Realistic public policy would be based on growing the economy, getting more people involved in jobs, passing legislation to make sure that everybody gets an income, whether they work or not. That's self-defeating. 745 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 and 805-6180. We'll be back.
He drove 15. But he drove so hard, he broke his poor heart.
All right, so looking at this article here, and the article is from, I think it's a Catholic magazine, Public Discord, Witherspoon Institute. Maybe it's not Catholic, but it's got, I could be confusing it with another one. So anyway, so this myths of liberalism. All right, they say that liberalism is dying, is it? And what does that mean? You know, I think one of the real obnoxious parts of liberalism is this antagonism towards religion. And if we're going to separate church and state, why don't we encourage people to not attack other individuals, whether they're religious or not? We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, give it up, Kelly O. CNN, all day long you've been ranting and raving on that, and compared to the stuff that Trump's doing, doesn't come to one iota of what the Trumper's doing.
Huh? What are you talking about?
CNN, what you're talking about. You're ranting and raving about
CNN. I know,
the
I got
CNN
that part.
Thing.
Hold on. What is Trump doing? What is Trump supposed to be doing that's so evil?
What? No, you're on the thing about all you right-wing people, you and that Rush Limbaugh guy, are going on about the big deal with CNN trying to track down with that phony baloney video or whatever it was. You're trying to make something out of nothing when you got Trump who can't even find his own limo coming off the plane, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know what? Like, listening to you is like turning on a commercial at full blast. What is your point?
My point is Trump is a twit. He's horrible. He's mentally unstable. Everybody knows. Every psychiatrist said so.
Yeah, that's the best you got today, man?
Well, no, I got more stuff, you know, but I thought I'd come out with an opening salvo, as they would say.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Pierce is not going to be governor. End of story. He is toast.
Based on what?
What?
Based on what? Do your statements ever have facts that are attached to them, or is it just what was in your mind when you woke up in the morning?
No. I mean, you can't discuss facts with conservatives. All you can do is insult and have innuendo.
Okay.
That's all you can do.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day. That is actually true. All you can do is if you're a liberal, since you don't have any intellectual apparatus, you just parrot up other people's statements. All right, so this, Frankie, this is actually designed for people like you. Safranek, a medical doctor with a philosophy background. Liberalism is not a coherent philosophy, but a collection of causes advanced under the rubric of, or under the topic, let's just say, or under in a group, under the rubric of personal liberty by powerful social and political interests. All right, I've noticed this a long time ago. What do lesbian women and pornographers have in common? Should be natural enemies, right? Well, they're both Democrats, both liberals. Liberalism is not a coherent philosophy, but a collection of causes advanced under the rubric of personal liberty by powerful social and political interests. As myth, liberalism is designed to conceal and mislead, not to reveal and illuminate its true end, which is undermining the traditional ethos of the Western world. Liberalism, when it comes in, is like water that comes in and gets under your foundation and begins to dissolve the foundation of your house. And pretty soon the house collapses. A house built on sand is not going to stand. Even if that sounds like Jesse Jackson. So, I mean, what is the unifying theme of this article? Is too long to read. What I want to do is get the book and read it and then come in with a little book report for you. All right, let us take a break. 523-1450, our last break. 805-6180, I'll grab your text.
They took John Henry to the graveyard, buried his body in the sand. Every locomotive come a roaring by. There I am, you driving man.
Why is it that no liberal that I can recall has ever called into this show and made any kind of a devastating indictment of, I mean, I, I hear about all these brilliant liberals, but all of the people that I've ever debated in my life, I can't really remember somebody who has just had a devastating series of statements that just destroy, you know, I guess I've never met one. Isn't it ironic? This is your text. How the people who claim there's no God spend so much time attacking his word and people. He thinks they protest too much. How about the recent news about the atheist driving through a stone chisel with 10 commandments, knocking it over? The Grinch is back. What a maroon. I think that's Frankie. If you're an atheist, why do you care if there's religious symbols out there? Please tell Frankie that psychiatrists are not allowed to give opinions on a person's mental health unless they have evaluated that person face-to-face. Frankie is woefully misinformed. Mary K. Fox Foul Noise Network is for freaks. That is Frankie. Frankie, I think you need some help. All right, so these are got some messages from... Oh, okay, no, it's from today. One of two. When I heard it was a 15-year-old is a Mexican. The 15-year-old kid who made that video is a Mexican. CNN assumes all Hispanics should be communists, so if they expose his identity, his people will retaliate. His parents should choose to sue CNN. I applaud whoever that is. I hope they live in Cruces. Please keep your bat discussions gender neutral. Just kidding, Kelly. From Abigail. All right, so some of your texts there. Exclusive study finds temperature adjustments account for nearly all of the warming and client data. Temperatures to make up for whatever they claim is missing, and then they find out that they end up with fake data. Here's Brian Regan, greeting cards.
So I'm going to a party, and I had to go to a greeting card store to get a birthday card. These places are way too subdivided now. They don't have just a simple birthday section. They have like, happy birthday for age 4 from the both of us. What the hell? I'm looking for a religious, humorous happy birthday for age 7 twins from the AFC West. They have a whole section called blank inside. What in the hell is a blank inside card? So I've been sending them out. Sorry you're feeling so blank inside. I feel like that myself sometimes. What kind of scam? The guy who's selling blank inside cards was wake up laughing. What do you do again? I sell blank inside cards. Picture of a tree, nothing on the inside. No little limerick, nothing. They're buying a crease. They have another whole section called encouragement. I like to send those to people who are not about to do anything and just keep sending them follow-ups and confusing them. You can do it. I can do what? I keep getting these. I know it's in you. What is in me? What can I do? Maybe you should go do something instead of reading cards all the time. You know, it's fun. You pick somebody at random, like out of the phone book, and send them about 100 just because cards. They can't even ask you why you did it.
All right, little Brian Regan there for you. Well, enjoyed hanging out with you today. And I hope you have a wonderful one. Take you out with some John Henry. The Limelighters, man. Listen to some Limelighters, Frankie. That'll make you feel better. Meet you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell, ciao.
Every locomotive come a-roaring by.
There my ass, who you driving, there we go. There my ass, who you driving, there. See you driving.